Well, good morning and good to see you guys. Those of you who are in the worship center, those of you in the pavilion, those watching online, just want to welcome everybody. I deeply want to express to moms here a heartfelt happy Mother's Day. Just want you to know that we esteem you so much for the sacrifice, the selflessness, the love that is inherent in motherhood. What role, what job has the inherent servanthood and sacrifice that this one does? And God, yeah, we'll take a clap. We sure will. God esteems you. We esteem you. We hold you in high honor. We know it's not an easy challenge by any means. I'm certainly grateful on a day like today for the moms in my own life, my mother that I grew up with who raised me. My wife, Gail, has been a mom almost 40 years now, and a grandmother, Honey, for the last 13 years. And by the way, she's looking particularly good today. She always does, so we'll throw that in. So. She's down here on the second row. I would ask her to stand, but she wouldn't do it. So she's just not going to do that. So there's a verse about that, isn't there? Yeah. and then Our daughters, Sarah, Callie, daughter-in-law, Michelle in Austin, and so wonderful young moms. So it's not the only calling, motherhood, but there is no higher calling than that of motherhood. I appreciate what Tony Campolo's wife said. Tony Campolo, the author and speaker, used to tell the story that sometimes his wife, when she was a full-time mom, would be asked, "Now, what do you do, dear?" And she would respond, "I am socializing two homo sapiens into the dominant values of the Judeo-Christian tradition in order that they might be instruments of the transformation of the social order into the kind of eschatological utopia that God willed from the beginning of creation. And what do you do?" So embedded in her humorous reply is the urgency and the priority of motherhood. You know, this morning, I do want to acknowledge, not only is motherhood such an important role, but it's also a difficult role. But both parenting of any kind is incredibly difficult. I don't know that there's a bigger challenge in human life than parenting, because, you know, you're just simply not in control of those kids. If you think you're in control, just wait a little bit, and, you know, you're not in control. And it just takes more wisdom and courage and endurance and patience than we've got. And it's just bigger than us. And I just want to remind some of you who need to be reminded that sometimes some of the best parents have some of the most difficult children, some of the worst parents have the best kids have the worst parents. You know, they're not robots, and you're not in control. So we just depend upon God and His grace. You know, every Father's Day and every Mother's Day, I'm just keenly aware that for some folks here, it's especially a tough day. I admire your courage if you showed up and it was a tough day. After the first service, I saw a couple, a mom that a few years ago lost their 28-year-old son. And I just, you know, that kind of challenge, which is just, you know, bigger than we can bear. But for all kind of reasons, some of you just grew up having a difficult relationship with your mom, or maybe you've lost your mom in the last year or so. Some of you that I had the most biggest compassion for are those who would love to be moms, and it's never happened. I just feel for you, hurt for you. I know that's different being a mother than being a father. Some of you have lost a child, miscarriage and death. Some of you have had your heart broken by a wayward child. And for other things, just want to say to you, God alone knows all that's in your heart, and He is the God who, He's the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He's the Father of mercies and He's the God of all comfort. And I just pray that you would keep going to Him for healing. You know, it's interesting to me, a bit surprising, that with the importance of parenting, that the New Testament doesn't have more explicit passages about parenting. There's really only two passages in the New Testament that's more on the how-to of parenting. There's one in Colossians and one in Ephesians. But on the other hand, the Bible is full of practical teachings on the spiritual life, and so many of those apply to parenting. perhaps at times above all other things. And we're going to see that in our passage today. I'm going to choose a foundational passage on the spiritual life. And that's in Romans 12, 1 and 2. And though it doesn't mention parenting, it just applies big time to parenting. And so we're going to look at what the exegesis of the passage, the understanding of the passage, but actually spend more time than normal in the application of this passage to parenting and motherhood today. So stand with me, please. I'm in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. We're taking a little break from our Old Testament series. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. This is God's word. Please be seated. So, right off the bat, Paul urges them, present yourselves a sacrifice to God, a living sacrifice to God. But before he gets there, he gives them the basis for that. Okay, on this basis, I'm going to tell you this, it's by the mercies of God. Now, this is what happens. For 11 chapters, Paul has gone over the love and the grace and the mercies and the kindness of God. 11 chapters, and now Romans 12, 1 and 2 is the pivot passage of the book, and he's going to turn practical. But the basis for which we should do any of these things in the spiritual life is the fact that God is a God of outrageous and lavish grace and mercy to us. I urge you, therefore, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God. So it is on that basis for all the Christian life, on the basis really of a bloodstained cross and all the mercies of God that are poured out there. On that basis, I urge you, Paul says, surrender yourself completely to God. Everything you are, everything you have, surrender it to God. Present yourselves as a living sacrifice. Now, by the way, at the end of that verse, he says, this is your spiritual worship, which is a reminder to us that, you know, worship is not just singing or praying or listening to a message in a service, but that the ultimate foundation of worship is a life of obedience, a life of surrender. If we're just giving lip service with our voice, but there's not a life of full surrender, every time you obey God, you are silently proclaiming, I believe that God is God. I believe God is good. I believe God is the Lord. And it is an act of worship every time we obey. So it is your spiritual worship, and God is worthy of our worship, as we've been singing already. So present yourselves living sacrifice to God. And then verse 2, which is particularly applicable to our topic today, he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds, so that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that we're perfect, but the will of God is perfect. But he says, do not be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And there's a famous translation done by a British scholar some decades back of this command, do not be conformed to this world. And this is the way he rendered it. He said, do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. You know, the world's got a mold, and it is, if we're not intentional, we'll be squeezed into the mold. And we will think and behave and act and feel just like the world. But the whole New Testament assumes and challenges us, we're going to be different. We're going to be salt. We're going to be light. We're a new creation. We're just on and on and on. We, as Christ followers, we're a new creation. We've got the mind of Christ. We've got the Spirit of the living God. We are these adopted, much loved, completely forgiven children of the living God. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. And so he says to us, first he says, present yourselves to Christ, and then he says, don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And he transforms us as we spend time in the Word, as the Spirit of God brings it alive in our lives, as we obey, he will transform us. Now, the question this morning is, how is our parenting going to be different than the parenting of our non-Christian neighbors? How will our parenting not be conformed to this world? In what way are our attitudes different, our values, our behaviors? In what way will they be different? And they must be different, the Bible would assume. And so for the disciples of Jesus Christ, you moms out there who are disciples of Christ, your motherhood is going to look differently. For all of us parents, our parenting will be different in some way or the other. Not every single way, but in some ways, in some profound ways. Do not, when it comes to parenting, let the world squeeze you into its mold. Now, by the way, we don't make ourselves different. Our focus is not, how can I be different in my parenting? That's not the point. Remember, he starts in verse 1, you surrender to Christ, he's going to make you different. He's going to transform you. So our focus is not what other people are doing, but our eyes are riveted on Christ. We're seeking him. We're surrendered to him. He will transform us. More and more, we will more and more look like Jesus and be conformed to Christ. Now, this morning, I want to spend the rest of our time on the practical application of this. In what ways, specific ways, might our parenting be different than non-Christians? Well, there's probably 100 ways or more, but 4 big ways I want to point out this morning. As you surrender to Christ, the Spirit is transforming us, and we will be different. Number one, for disciples of Christ who are parents, your top priority is not your kids or your family. It's Jesus. Now, some people might think, well, Jeff, of course, that's pretty obvious for a Christian parent, but it's hard to live out because those kids are very, very important to us, are they not? In fact, if they're very young at all, that they will die unless you give them adequate attention. I mean, they're very important to us, but they're not all important. And there is a subtle but profound difference in those two things. And it's just, you know, our tendencies are going to be, because they're so helpless, to make them the most important thing. Now, not only does this happen among non-Christian parents, that happens in by Christian parents also. And what the Bible calls us to remind us time after time after time, is that if we put anything above God, that becomes an idol. You know, it starts with Exodus 20, verse 3, the first of the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. And that includes good things like marriage, like parenting, like work, other good things. You know, we're not going to choose something bad and evil to be our idol normally. We'll choose something good and we'll put it out of its place. You know, whenever you take a good thing and make it the main thing, it will become a bad thing if it's anything other than Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting to me that in the Gospels, Jesus specifically talks about parenting and other family relationships in this regard. Matthew 10, 37, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Man, that's strong language. Because he knows not only is that right to put God first, but it is best for your kids, for everybody, if Jesus Christ alone is first. Because nothing else is going to satisfy the human heart. God made us for himself. This is Augustine's great line. You have made us for yourself, O God. And our hearts are restless till they find their rest in thee. And even good things, marriage, parenting, good friendships, that will not fill the human heart. God alone is God, not our family. Let me elaborate a tad on the effect on the kids. Just think about kids. They grow up and clearly, it's clear to them that they're everything to their parents. They're the most important thing. Whatever the parents say, they're the most important thing. Well, subtly, they're going to sense that, and they're going to resent the pressure of being the most important thing in the parents' life, because if I'm the most important thing to my parents, well, my life and performance is going to determine their happiness. And that's too much pressure for a child. It is healthy, and the way God designed us, for Jesus to be first, for marriage to be second, for kids to be third. So let's keep things in biblical perspective. And I just want to remind us because, you know, thank God for the last 40, 50 years, parents have been more intentional to focus on, to do the parenting well. But the flip side of that is maybe they become all important. God alone is first. What does it mean if you put Jesus first in your life? Well, you're going to seek after him first. You're going to pursue him first. You're going to, whatever he says, you're going to obey. Sometimes I give you this kind of little summary of if God's first in your life, then you'll give him the first part of every day, the first day of every week, the first part of your check, just that reflects it. Okay, this is a reminder to us. Your top priority, if you parent fully surrendered to Christ, your top priority will not be your family, it'll be Jesus. Subtle but important differences. The second principle, second way that our parenting will be different, your parenting is grace-based, not law-based. Let me explain that one. That means that the entire atmosphere of how we live will flow out of grace, not law. It'll flow out of the overflowing, unconditional love and grace of Christ. He established it on the cross when he won our forgiveness, and now we live our whole lives in light of grace. That means I'm not trying to measure up to earn God's approval. I'm already approved because of the cross. I'm not trying to earn brownie points. I'm not on a religious treadmill trying to perform. I'm accepted by the cross. Now, even those of us who theologically understand grace and the cross, the heart of the Bible, we have a tendency as human beings to kind of revert back to the religiosity and the rules and regulations. And I got to perform, and I got to measure up, and I got to be good enough. And we've got to resist that tendency, and it'll spill out to our kids. Now, if you focus, if law is driving you, this is the message that you will, this is what the law will say to you. It says you got to be perfect. You got to measure up. You got to do parenting just right. You got to be the perfect mom. It's all up to you. And because no one does those things perfectly, the law also will say you're such a failure. You're such a lousy parent. You've made so many mistakes when you were parenting your kids. You don't measure up. You're not doing enough. Have you ever heard those voices? If you're a parent, you have. And we got to understand that's law. That's not grace. This is what grace says. Grace says, I'm not a perfect parent. I'm not perfect in any area of my life, and it's okay. The grace of God covers me. The blood of Jesus covers me. His grace covers my failures, my flaws, my weaknesses. God is the kind of God who uses broken people, flawed people, weak people, people like us. I rest in the grace of Christ. Now what a difference when it comes to having to try to be the perfect mom or the perfect parent rather than just resting in the grace of God, acknowledging, yep, mess up all the time. If you live in grace, the way you look at your past is this, Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. That's a good way to look at your past in parenting, isn't it? I wish I could look into the eyes, get real close to the eyes of every parent in this room and just able to convince you, for those of us in grace, there is no condemnation. None. So if you're living in condemnation, is that from God or is that from the enemy? It's from the enemy, isn't it? Trying to derail you and ruin any other parenting or everything else in your life. Okay, that's the past, Romans 8:1. For the present, 1 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. So I'm not, setting out to be the perfect parent. I'm just sort of acknowledging, Lord, I'm a weak parent. I need your grace. No parent here is perfect. No parent here is not messed up. We all stand in the grace of God. Now, for the future, here's the watchword. Romans 8:28, we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. So when you think about the future, those of you little kids, or those of you who are going to have kids in the future, those of us who got kids now, everything in the future, well, whatever I do, God has promised for those of us in Christ Jesus, he's going to take those things and put them together and bring good out of them for the kingdom, some way or the other. He's going to redeem them. And that is a great promise. That's what it means to parent with grace and not with law. As we surrender to Christ, this is how Christ will transform us. We won't have to force it. We will just live more and more in grace. Okay, third way that we're going to be different if we're Christ surrendered. You reject all comparison and competition. Or I could put it this way. You will opt out of the great American parent race. I think if there's one big value or pressure about parenting in this area, it has to do with competition and comparison. comparison is never good. It's never good. Either you're going to feel proud that you're better, or you're going to feel inferior that you're worse. It never leads to good things. And so we should never engage in comparison for ourselves or for our kids, which means, you know, we throw competition out. Rather than, you know, the great American parent race, you know, my kids got to be smarter and prettier and better looking and more athletic and do better and go to the best colleges. Rather than kind of focus on competition and comparison, let's opt out of that completely and let's substitute something else. How about the love Jesus more race for you parents? What if my whole focus is not my kids got to perform and measure up and beat those other kids, but that they've got to, what I want is if they love Jesus more. You know, what does it matter if they're not the best athlete around or the best student around, if they love Jesus with all their hearts? And so as they grow up, they don't get this subtle pressure from me to outperform their buddies and friends and classmates, but rather you just be who you are, the unique, much-loved child of God, and you enjoy that. You love him back. I mean, that's the mindset for the Christ-surrendered parent. We opt out of the great American parent race. We opt in. We choose the love Jesus more race. We want our kids to love Jesus with all their hearts. Our lead children's pastor, Jeff Miller, does a fabulous job, he and his team. He's put it this way. He says, focus not on what your child does, but on who your child becomes. That's good. Don't focus on what they do. Focus on who they become. Focus not on your child's achievements, but on your child's heart. You know, I love our children's ministry. I love our student ministry, by the way. Our students, by the way, are in our services today. And Justin, where is Justin? Justin may not be here this service. He was here earlier. So, Justin, are you in the room? Justin Kessler, our lead student pastor. His wife, Chelsea, was leading worship. He was here the first service. I'd make him stand up so you guys with kids growing up go that way. They do a great job. Both our children's and our student ministry. We want to partner with you. It's not, you know, you've got the prime role, but we want to partner with you. We want to raise up a generation of children who love Jesus, who journey together, who bring hope to the world. We want to do all we can. You know, one of the advantages of our community groups is that the way we've designed them now is that the kids are there. And so they grow up. What if they grew up from a young age watching mom and dad open the Bible with other parents in the church, and they pray together, and they live in community together? You know, they just get the message that, you know, this is how my parents live, with the Bible, with prayer, in community. So the third way that our parenting will be different is that we reject all comparison and competition, and that will make you different. Okay, the fourth and final way. Your model for parenting is God. Not television, not social media, not friends, but God. And my point is this. In fact, I think this is the basic parenting principle. As God fathers us, as God is a parent to us, so we are parents to our kids. That is, we look at him and what he does for us, and we model that. Now, I would say for God and his being a father to me, there's two things that are paramount. First of all, his love, and secondly, his authority. He is outrageously loving, and he's the Lord. And he has these in perfect balance. He doesn't just focus on love or focus on authority, the absence of love. He's got them both. And you know, our children desperately need both of these in full measure. They need us as parents to love them, to hug them, to clap and cheer for them, to just love them fervently. But they also need to know that they're not in charge, that they're not the boss. We are. You know, we don't make everything a battle, but when we choose a battle, we win it. We win that battle when they're two so that we can win it when they're 14. And they need to know that they're not in charge. That brings security for them. That if they've got boundaries here, okay, I know I got some, I could hurt myself if I don't have some walls around here. And children need that. Don't hesitate. But it's got to be done with the utmost of love. And so we're not taking our cues from the moms we see on TV or in social media, in this blog, that blog, even in our neighbors, sometimes even in the church. But we take our cues from the Bible and what God says. And that will be the fourth way. That as we are putting Jesus first and surrender to him, he will transform us, is that our model for parenting will be God himself. So, church, what we've seen this morning in this passage, I urge you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, acceptable to God. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, that you may discern what is good and acceptable and perfect. What this means is we don't set out trying to be different. That's not our goal. We don't look at other parents and say, oh, I got to be different. That's not the point. We focus on Jesus. We surrender our lives to Jesus, and He transforms us more and more. And these are just some of the ways that we'll be different. Now, as I've said before, nobody's done this exactly right. My parents didn't. We didn't. Our kids won't. Nobody does it exactly right, and we live in the grace of God. And I want to encourage you this morning. You seek after Jesus, and He will make you more and more like Jesus in all of your life, including in your parenting. Now, where does this all start? It starts with us simply surrendering to the Lord, presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, that's even the place before the surrender. It starts, Jesus, I need a Savior. Lord, would you please come and save me from my sin? He'll do that. But those of us who have trusted Christ as Savior, we surrender everything to Him. And we live in the grace of God. The grace, by the way, that we celebrate in communion every single week. So if you'd stand with me, let me pray and we'll lead in communion. Lord God, I want to thank you for particularly for every mom in the room, Lord God. And thank you, Lord God, for the sacrifice of our moms. And Lord God, there's no perfect parent in this room except you. And Lord, thank you that we don't have to be or claim to be or even make that our goal. But Lord God, we live in your grace and trust you. And Lord God, we thank you for the grace of God that's poured out on the cross of Jesus. And we just celebrate that with all our hearts. In Jesus' name.